You are officially invited into the sixth episode of Not a Wine Drinker. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Amy, and I hope your week is not blah, blah, blah. Because this week, we are discussing the 2012 animated movie, Hotel Transylvania. Now, this movie became so popular that it's basically a franchise now. It's since gotten three sequels, as well as an animated TV series and a video game and some shorts as well. Before I watched the full movie for this episode, I had only seen the second half of the first movie, and that was enough to suck me in enough to watch the second movie. I weirdly have not seen the third movie yet, but I've also seen the fourth movie. So it was nice to go back and watch the entirety of the first movie for this. And it's a really cute movie. It totally sucked me in, and it kind of makes Dracula and the monsters kid-friendly. And right from the very beginning, you have the Columbia logo with Lady Columbia, and she turns into a bat who flies around, and you eventually learn that that is Mavis, one of the main characters. And she is the daughter of Count Dracula. Of course, right in the beginning, Count Dracula sings a song with a ukulele because he's voiced by Adam Sandler, who knows how to play ukulele. So he sings a cute little song to his little baby vampire. Funnily enough, in my last episode with Van Helsing, I had talked about how you don't often see vampire babies, and now here's another movie with a kid vampire. The mom is not there, and you find out later why. It's because she had been killed by humans. So Dracula has created a hotel, the title namesake, Hotel Transylvania, and he created it as a place for monsters to come to get away from humans and to just relax and be themselves. So from Dracula's perspective, the monsters are the good guys and the humans are the bad guys. So he opens up his hotel. The address is 666 Transylvania Lane, Umbrae, Romania. Romania is where Transylvania is nowadays. I think it used to be in Hungary, but the political lines have changed since. And according to the designers of the movie, the hotel actually has 1,250 rooms in it. 950 of those rooms are guest rooms. So there's an additional 350 rooms that are not guest rooms. I guess they're Dracula and Mavis, his daughter, live there. And they also have to have rooms for, I guess, the workers, since you don't see any other housing anywhere else. And other things like closets and laundry and all that other stuff. Oh, yeah. And then in the scene where Dracula is opening up the hotel and he goes to make a big speech to everyone that's there, he stands up on a toadstool, and it is such a great visual pun because it's literally a stool made out of toads. I really appreciate a good visual pun. So in the beginning of the movie, you see Mavis as a baby, but then it fast forwards to just before her 118th birthday, which is a teenager in vampire years. So her father, Dracula, wants to throw a huge birthday party for her, and all of his friends show up. So you have Griffin, who is the Invisible Man, that's the actual name in H.G. Wells' book, The Invisible Man. And then there's Frankenstein, and yes, we all know that technically it is Frankenstein's monster, but they decided to name him Frankenstein in this, so that's how we will refer to him. And he's married, and his wife's name is Eunice. And then there's Wayne, who's also married. His wife's name is Wanda. And they have a whole litter of little puppies. Oh, they're werewolves. Forgot to say that. and then you have Murray, who is a mummy. Murray the mummy. And the one thing that Mavis really wants more than anything else is to travel. She wants to go out and explore and see what the world is like. But Dracula, because his wife had been killed by humans, he doesn't trust any of the humans anymore. And so he is trying to protect his daughter from the human world. So he says that she can go out for one night to go to the closest village to see what it's like. And so she goes to this little town square, and all these humans, in quote, come out and start attacking her. But to the audience, it's clear that they're not actually humans. They are actually the zombies that work for Dracula. So you realize that Dracula had just created this to appease Maeve. He calls her Maeve as a nickname to Mavis. So he had used this to appease Maeve without actually letting her get into any real trouble. But she doesn't realize it. So she thinks that, you know, the humans are still bad out there and decides to stay in the castle for her birthday. But unbeknownst to everyone else, there's this one human dude who wanders somehow through the woods into the hotel. And his name is Jonathan, which could be a little nod to Jonathan Harker in the original Dracula novel. And he is just a total, like, kind of Southern California 80s surfer dude stereotype. And he's a traveling backpacker. At one point he says, "I love my backpack, dude." And I'm like, I totally get it. as a hiker, yeah, I love my backpack too. So Dracula is the first one to realize that he's a human. And of course, Dracula freaks out. And so Dracula is doing everything to get Jonathan out of there, but Jonathan wants to stay, and hijinks ensue. And at one point they're going down a hallway, and on the wall of one of the halls, there is a lady in the unicorn tapestry. And I was just so excited because I love unicorns. So I just needed to point that out because that's really cool that they put that in there. And of course, Jonathan then bumps into Mavis and they instantly fall in love. And in the movie, they have this thing called zinging, which is basically when you find your life partner. It's kind of their version of what some people might call your soulmate. So Dracula uses all these different tricks to try to get Jonathan out of the castle, and one way or another, they don't work. And Jonathan ends up back in the castle. Eventually, Dracula has to make up the story that Jonathan is a monster and he's a cousin of Frankenstein. Oh man, there's a cute scene where Dracula and Jonathan end up dew bonding when they're trying to set up the main hall for Mavis's birthday, and they're putting out the tables. All Dracula has to do to move the tables is to talk to them. Jonathan figures out how to do it too, and so they're both competing to put the tables in different places, and then they start flying onto the tables, and then they start racing each other, and it's really cute. I thought it was like a really cute bonding scene. I really liked that. And then there's the chef, Quasimodo, who has a pet rat named Esmeralda, which is the name of another character in The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And Esmeralda can smell humans. And for some reason, Quasimodo wants to cook up humans, which is weird because Quasimodo actually is a human. So despite the hotel supposed to be for monsters only, there are actually two humans. One is Quasimodo, and then the other human is Griffin, who's just a regular human, but he's invisible. So anyway, so Quasimodo and his rat are sniffing out Jonathan. They realize that there is a human in the castle. So now Dracula is trying to avoid having Jonathan being found out by them, while also trying to hide Jonathan being human from everyone else. And eventually this all comes crashing down at the actual party for Mavis. And, you know, everyone's upset. Mavis is upset because obviously she was lied to. Jonathan knows that Dracula doesn't want him to be near Mavis, so he leaves. And then Dracula finds out that Mavis had zinged with Jonathan, and so he realizes that he messed up and he was in the wrong for what he did to drive Jonathan out. So he has to go get Jonathan, who is getting on a plane. Dracula and all his friends go to the nearest town, and they go in the daylight, so that's bad for Dracula. In this movie, they follow the lore that sunlight is bad for vampires. They get to the town, and surprisingly, all the people actually love monsters. So yay, humans are not all bad. And the humans help the monsters get Dracula to the airport, but the plane has already left. So Dracula has to turn into a bat and then fly to the airplane, which, okay, we're just going to ignore the physics of that because it's a movie. And through hypnotizing one of the pilots, Dracula is able to talk to Jonathan and tell him that, no, actually, he should go back to Mavis. He gets the pilot to turn the airplane around. And so then Jonathan and Mavis are reunited, and yay, a great happy ending. So the concept of the movie was created by Todd Durham, who is a comedy writer. It was in development for a really long time, since way back in 2006, and it went through five other directors before it finally came into Genndy Tartakovsky's lap. Now, Genndy is a big name in cartoons. He has done a lot of animated series, either as director or creative director or producer or writer. He's done it all. But this ended up being his first animated movie. And he since directed the second and third sequels. And even though he didn't direct the fourth, he was a writer and an executive producer. And he also voiced one of the other characters, Blobby, for the third and fourth movies. So he has been very involved in this franchise. And another of the crew members who I want to point out is the composer, Mark Mothersbaugh, who was in the band Devo, the 80s band, who their best known song is Whip It. And I knew that he had also done the music for the show Rugrats, which I grew up on and totally loved. But I didn't realize just how much he has done. Like, okay. Like, he has done so much with both cartoons, with TV series, with movies. Like, let me give you just like a little taste of some of the stuff that he's done. Besides Rugrats and Hotel Transylvania, he has also done, oh my God, there's just so much. Okay, he was the composer for Happy Gilmore, Crash Bandicoot, the video game, Rushmore, Halloween Town, Dawson's Creek, Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, The Lords of Dogtown, The Sims 2, Open for Business, Mama's Boy, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, What to Expect When You're Expecting, The Lego Movie, Pitch Perfect 2, Thor Ragnarok, The Mitchells vs. the Machines, Tiger King, Cocaine Bear, What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series. And that's just like a little taste. Wow, I had no idea how much he had done. And then in terms of the cast, you have such big names. And so many of them are from SNL. There's at least six that I personally were able to identify. So of the SNL cast members, you have Adam Sandler as Dracula, John Lovitz as Quasimodo, Andy Samberg as Jonathan, Molly Shannon as Wanda, David Spade as Griffin, and Chris Parnell as The Fly. And then the other cast members are rounded out with Selena Gomez as Mavis, Fran Drescher as Eunice, Kevin James as Frankenstein, Steve Buscemi as Wayne, and CeeLo Green as Murray. Almost all of them reprise their roles in the other movies, except unfortunately for CeeLo Green, because he was arrested, and Keegan-Michael Key took over for Murray for the rest of the series. And for Mavis, Miley Cyrus had originally been cast for her. But unfortunately, before filming started, she had been photographed licking a penis cake for her then-boyfriend Liam Hemsworth. And the producers didn't want that image for a family-friendly movie, so she was dropped and Selena Gomez got the role instead. I like what some of the other actors have said of their characters. So Andy Samberg, who played Jonathan, he said that Jonathan is pretty much based on who I was in high school. Super positive in the face of adversity, even maybe when he shouldn't be, which I could totally see Andy being like that in high school. And then Adam Sandler said of Dracula, Dracula is just like any dad. He's overprotective, controlling, manipulative, and slightly insane, but it all comes from a good place. Fear of his daughter getting hurt, which, I don't know. I wouldn't say just like any dad, because Dracula, I feel, he is too overprotective. Like, he is the protagonist. He is the one who, has a journey. But yeah, in the beginning, like, he's not a good dad. He's lying to his daughter. He's very manipulative and just, I don't know. I felt that he was not a good dad. And yes, he learns his lesson by the end of the movie, but in the rest of the series, he's still very controlling and very manipulative. So it's almost like that lesson didn't roll over into the other movies, because he keeps having to learn that over and over again. So I wish they had kind of backed Dracula off a little, because I really do not like that stereotype that fathers have to be super protective of their daughters. It's a little creepy. David Spade, who played Griffin, he said he's extremely handsome and has a killer body, at least that's what he tells me. And it's funny because then in the fourth movie, you do get to see what the Invisible Man looks like. And I wouldn't exactly call him extremely handsome with a killer body. So make of it what you will. And then John Lovitz said of Quasimodo, Quasimodo is based on Julia Child. If she were an evil man and short with a hunchback, but still French. Yeah, I could totally see John Lovitz saying that. So the lore in here, there's a lot of lore in here. So Dracula, it was modeled after the Bela Lugosi version of Dracula, which is pretty apparent in his manner and in his stature. In the movie, Dracula explains to Jonathan that they drink a blood substitute, so they don't actually harm any humans, which goes along well with Dracula's view that monsters are good and humans are bad. And he also says that he avoids garlic, but that's because he has an allergy. And then he says, yes, we can be killed by a wooden stake, but wouldn't anyone? which I thought was funny. But if you think about it, there's a lot of things that vampires can survive that humans would die from. So it's just a little bit of backwards logic there. Dracula also has the power of hypnosis. And you also have vampires being able to be hurt by sunlight. Although in the scene with Dracula as a bat flying in the sun while chasing after the airplane, he's in the sun for a really, really long time. And though, yeah, it's like you can tell that it's kind of hurting him, it seems like it doesn't hurt him enough to kill him. And Dracula also has the power to completely freeze people. And I'm not sure if it wears off eventually on its own or if he has to unfreeze them, because he does freeze people and unfreeze people pretty quickly, except for Quasimodo, who he freezes, and Quasimodo stays frozen for a really long time. And Dracula also talks about how people always imitate him saying blah, blah, blah. And he says vampires do not say that. And so I looked up the history of where that stereotype came from. It's actually, no one's really quite sure. Most people kind of associate with Bela Lugosi, but he didn't use that in the Dracula movie. One of the theories is that Bela does use it, but in a movie where he's parodying himself. It's a movie called My Son the Vampire, where he kind of says blood, but in his accent, it comes out more as bleh, with the D very quiet. So that could be where it came from. It also could be from the song that Alan Sherman sang for the movie My Son the Vampire, where he does say blood, like in the very beginning. Again, very de-emphasized D at the end. And it's also been contributed to a couple of comedians. The first being Gabriel Dell, who was a comedian on the Steve Allen Show. And he is heard saying blah or bleh when playing a Dracula character. And then the other comedian is Lenny Bruce, who did a parody of Dracula as a Yiddish man and used an Eastern European accent that made blood come out more like bleh. So there you have it. Who knows? But Dracula doesn't say it. And then the final piece of lore that I want to look at is vampire aging, which was made pretty famous in Twilight, where you had Edward, who seemed like a teenager, but he was much, much older as a vampire. I think he was like over 100 years old. And he was with Bella, who was an actual human teenager. But in this, you have the flip side of that, where the vampire seemingly teenager is Mavis, even though she's actually 118 years old. And then you have the human teen. Well, he's a little bit older than a teenager. He's, I guess, a young adult because Jonathan is 21 years old. But still, that's a lot younger than 118. So I don't know. Is it creepy or like, does it make sense because their maturity level is about the same? So I guess vampires just mature a lot slower, which then brings up a lot about their brain development and maturity levels and all that, which not going to get into. So there you go. This one was a pretty short episode, and I think I'm going to make it canon that I'm only putting out an episode every other week. I just have not been able to do it weekly, unfortunately. Sorry about that. So in 2 weeks, we will be discussing. It was really hard to pick which movie I wanted to do because I want to do like 5 different movies. But I've been on a bit of a John Carpenter kick lately, so I figured I would incorporate that. And so in 2 weeks, I will look at John Carpenter's Vampires. I'm pretty excited because I know nothing about this movie. So is it good? I don't know. We'll find out. Thank you so much again for being here. Please do all the things like subscribe, share, and please help me to not kick my caffeine habit by going to buymeacoffee.com/notawinedrinker and feel free to give as little or as much as you can. Anything is appreciated. Thank you so much, and until next time, blah, blah, blah. Okay, bye.